In the Minneapolis Star Tribune this morning, they write about a Dr. Martin Tobin, a Chicago physician who specializes in respiratory and critical care medicine. He was called to the stand by the prosecution in the Derek Chauvin trial yesterday. He's written textbooks and specializes in respiratory and critical care medicine, has so for decades. This is part of Chicago's Dr. Martin Tobin's testimony yesterday.
Have you formed an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty on the cause of Mr. Floyd's death?
Yes, Mr. Floyd died from a low level of oxygen.
Have you formed an opinion to a reasonable degree of medical certainty as to what the cause is or was for the low level of oxygen in Mr. Floyd?
The cause of the low level of oxygen was shallow breathing, small breaths, small tidal volumes, shallow breaths that weren't able to carry the air through his lungs down to the essential areas of the lungs that get oxygen into the blood and get rid of the carbon dioxide.
Asked if his pre-existing conditions, George Floyd's, of health conditions, heart conditions, drugs in his system, had anything else to do with George Floyd's death, that doctor said none whatsoever. Here is Ashley Banfield from The Banfield Show on News Nation tonight at 9. Hi, Ashley. Welcome back.
Hey, John. So good to be with you.
So that's, you know, that sounds like a slam dunk, except I suppose next week we'll hear an equally qualified doctor say something the exact opposite of that, huh?
I don't think you have to wait till next week. I think you can actually hear it today. Here's what's so fascinating about trials in general, and I'm a bit of a nerd, having done 15 years of trials. Every day is different, and when you're in a case in chief, as we are right now with the prosecution, it just always feels like a slam dunk because they're presenting their version of events.
Mm-hmm.
And so from one day to the next, depending on, you know, how good the cross-examination is at picking away at that case in chief, it really does feel like a heavy. You know, if you're in the prosecution side, it feels like a heavy for the defense. If you're in the defense side, it feels like a heavy for the prosecutors. Right now, we are in a real heavy, heavy time for the defense, okay? Because yesterday was a blowout for the prosecution. They hit their stride. They had the day of the trial yesterday, and most of it had to do with the person that you just played, Dr. Martin Tobin. He was incredible, a pulmonologist who was so engaging, an expert who was so interesting, so smart, so well-versed, so well-researched, and not boring and not technical.
Mm.
He was very good with this jury. He made perfect sense to them.
The day before, not on last night's show, but the night before, I thought you had an interesting choice of words. You said the miraculous discovery of some drugs in the back of the cruiser with Floyd's saliva on them. Is that right? Is that what happened?
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of thing that you discover when you're watching trials live. Sort of, I call them Perry Mason moments, for lack of a better description, but you know what I mean. You know, all of a sudden we discovered that there were, you know, partially consumed meth and fentanyl pills in the back of the police squad car where George Floyd had been fighting with the two police officers who were trying to, you know, take him in for the bad check. This is where the first, you know, one of the first resist arrests occurred.
Mm-hmm.
And the saliva of George Floyd was on them and no other DNA. So they'd only been touched by George Floyd in the back of that cruiser. The problem is that the police looked through that cruiser. It had been impounded, but they had never discovered them until the defense months and months and months later wanted to do their own search and discovered them. And when I say that, the defense wasn't allowed to touch the cruiser or seal, you know, break the seals on the cruiser in the police lockup. It was actually the police officials who had to do that. So it wasn't as though they could be planted there.
Well, it wasn't as though they could be planted there by the defense. I'm sorry. I just have to think like, wow, you're telling me that months later, lo and behold, there in the backseat of the cruiser, they found drugs with George Floyd's saliva on them and nobody had noticed that? The crime of the century in Minneapolis,
yeah.
Hey, look over here. Here's drugs with his saliva on. Well, what do you know?
So I call it whiplash because that was the day before and it was a massive day for the defense, right? And you mark my words right now, that is going to be pummeled in closings. Are you kidding me? The police are trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, to listen to their credibility and to their investigative techniques as being pristine when this happens. So that's a good day for the defense. But let me tell you, it's almost as though there'll be amnesia after what happened yesterday. I mean, it can't be discounted how powerful yesterday's medical experts were in saying, don't think for a minute that fentanyl or meth or heart condition or anything else caused this death, because one of the very strong things that Dr. Martin Tobin also said was that a perfectly healthy person, and let's be frank, George Floyd was not healthy. His heart was troubled. He had COVID. He was riddled with loads of different drugs that you'll find out, you know, when the medical examiner comes on today. But a perfectly healthy person in that same position would have died as well. Now, that is very strong. So I don't care where your knee is. I don't care if George Floyd took drugs or there were pills in the car. Let's talk about what caused his death. And they really dispensed with cause of death being anything other than the officer or officers who were squeezing the life out of him. That's what the prosecutors were able to do yesterday.
Almost is beside the point whether or not there were drugs in the squad car or whether or not you played back. I think it's absolutely indiscernible what George Floyd said. I ate too many drugs or I didn't take any drugs. We know he took drugs. There was fentanyl and methamphetamine in his system. So that's not even up for debate, except for maybe the volume that
not.
He took.
Correct. But let me be really clear about how trials work, because juries are so fresh, like they come in as barbers and mechanics and, you know, maybe a journalist or two, but they don't work in the business of law. So they don't really know what the strategies are that are playing out in front of them. They just hear a story from a bunch of people who get titles. And yesterday they heard three stories from really smart people who got, you know, who have really smart titles. There's something they didn't hear yesterday, and it's very curious. They didn't hear from the medical examiner yesterday. And John, every trial I've ever covered, just about, you start with the medical examiner. And then afterwards, you go to your hired hands, right? Because your hired hands are going to give the narrative that you need. The defense pointed that out in the openings, saying, you know something, ladies and gentlemen, when the state got the medical examiner's findings, they weren't exactly supportive of their theory. So they went out and they hired other doctors and physicians to get the stories that they wanted. Well, if the jury remembered openings, they may remember that, yeah, these guys are hired hands.
Yeah.
They may be really smart, but where's the medical examiner? Well, that medical examiner is coming today. And I can tell you on good authority that a memo that we obtained, gosh, when was it? Back in June of last year. I got this memo in June of last year. And the memo was from the Hennepin County Attorney's Office to the prosecutors. And I'm just going to paraphrase it by saying it was like, uh-oh, guys, I just talked to the medical examiner, and holy moly, there's some really bad facts here for our case. And they found the 11 nanograms of fentanyl. The quote is that the medical examiner told me, quote, that's pretty high. This level of fentanyl can cause pulmonary edema, and Mr. Floyd's lungs were 2 to 3 times their normal weight at autopsy. That's a fatal level of fentanyl under normal circumstances, they write. Then they continue to say that the medical examiner said that if Mr. Floyd had been found dead in his home or anywhere else, and there were no other contributing factors, he would have concluded that this was an overdose death. Now, that's strong. Those words are very strong, and I think you're going to hear that when the medical examiner takes the stand. You may not hear it right away from the prosecutors, but you're darn sure going to hear it on cross-examination, or you'll hear it when the defense starts their case in chief.
Let's talk next week, Ashley. Amazing. Okay, I'll be in touch.
All right, John, take care.
Ashley Banfield, you'll hear her and see her tonight at 9 on News Nation.